honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. It's a cloudy, misty, rainy day, but it's more like that in Phoenix right now because the Minnesota Timberwolves have successfully swept the Phoenix Suns and are on their way to the second round for the first time in 20 years. It's also episode 398, which means episode 400 will probably be in the Denver series. Ooh, cool. Well, if the Timberwolves ultimately play the Denver Nuggets, if the Lakers don't make a comeback sweep on the Denver Nuggets, kind of doubt that's going to happen. Odds are the Nuggets close out the Lakers tonight. And I know, I'm sorry. I know Laker fans are listening, especially Vinrock Vince Germano. I know he wants to give me a hard time about what happened in game three. We'll get to that in a little bit, I think. I think I'll get to it. No. Unless I forget, but which is possible, I suppose. One of those games where it seemed like this whole series, things didn't necessarily start out so spectacularly. It was kind of a back and forth, and gosh, you know, Phoenix just kind of gets scoring all the time, getting 32 points in the first quarter. It doesn't look so good. And then the Timberwolves put the clamps down in the second and third, especially that third quarter. What a great quarter. Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards and such just go off, 36 points in that third quarter. It was an entertaining, fun Friday night basketball. It was absolutely epic. Anthony Edwards, again, 36 points, insanely clutched in the game. Nikhil Alexander-Walker hit a lot of big threes as the game progressed. A lot of guys were missing shots early, and they started making them later. So ultimately, the field goal percentage definitely improved as things moved on. Timberwolves with almost 50% from the floor and almost 40% from outside, about 38, and went up with 126 points, a 126-109 victory in Phoenix, which had a lot of us feeling like $1 million, because you figured maybe there's a chance we lose game three, maybe you win game four and five and win in five games, or this thing could go to six or so, which is always scary. You don't want to get to game six in Phoenix where they have a chance to force a seventh game because they're at home, but luckily that just simply wasn't meant to be. Since the last episode, Naz Reid clinches the Sixth Man of the Year award. So, awesome story. Obviously, undrafted free agent coming out of, was it Maryland in general, right? The state of Maryland? No, New Jersey. He's a Jersey guy. I apologize. Like Karl-Anthony Towns. August 26, 1999, Asbury Park, New Jersey. He played for LSU. So, yeah, Louisiana State University. But very little time there, of course. Undrafted free agent. Yeah, had a little bit of maybe temperament issues, I think. And I know that was definitely going on with Jaden McDaniels. And occasionally we see a bit of that. But Jaden McDaniels can be a little on the angry side sometimes. Naz Reid doesn't show a whole lot of temper, but once in a while. And that's when he gets those technical fouls. But he's definitely calmed down since becoming an NBA player. And man, has he improved. He was good right out of the gate. I still remember Marcus the Forecaster being pretty excited about him. Like, oh, we got this guy who's a McDonald's All-American. Keep an eye on him, this Naz Reid guy. And good call by Marcus the Forecaster. He's often been pretty damn good. We actually exchanged texts last night as the Timberwolves were in game four hoping to sweep. Marcus the Forecaster was teasing me about, like, I just jinxed us. Well, it kind of felt like it for a while because frickin' Booker couldn't miss. But we'll get back to that game in a minute. I'll try to remember. I hate when I forget stuff. You know, it drives me nuts because I get in some kind of mode and forget what I wanted to talk about. I'm going to try to hold this up. So yes, there's the image of the broom. That's going to be the image of this episode. It was awesome. It's going to be the image of the episode, and eventually we'll probably have a Wolves-Nuggets combination like I did with the Wolves and Suns in the previous two episodes. when it was a little scary at the beginning of this series, but the Timberwolves made it less and less and less scary. At the beginning of this series, before we played a single game and after that final game of the regular season, how many of you thought the Wolves were going to sweep the Phoenix Suns? I mean, it's pretty crazy. Who'd have thunk it? The Wolves made the Suns look like a team that really, you know, didn't really want to be there, it seemed like, except for Game 4. Booker was frustrated the whole time, made an ass of himself, which he is wont to do. That's kind of who he is. I don't know. Some people think he's not that bad, but I don't know. Maybe it's the competitive juices coming out. I don't know. He bugs me. He's knocking on the door of that Steph Curry award for my least favorite player in the league. Like, he just pisses me off. I'm sorry. He just does. And I think he pisses a lot of players off. Can't imagine he's a popular guy. But I'm getting off of Nas Reed, so I really apologize for that. Again, an amazing run. Very well deserving of the award. And Malik Monk deserved the award as well. He should have probably got it last year, and he didn't. And this year, he didn't as well. So Nas Reed able to get it. And what an amazing season for Nas Reed. 13.5 points a game. A bargain of a deal at the end of the day for, well, sticking around here. He may have gotten more. Maybe he could have gotten a starting job on another team. Quite possibly. But again, that's why you're a sixth man. You're so good. You probably could start and probably should start. And he certainly filled in insanely well for Karl Anthony Towns. Like any player, he's certainly not perfect. He's not a perfect player. He's going to have his off nights. He's going to be 1-for-5 from outside or 1-for-6 or whatever. He might get ornery and get a technical foul. He might miss some free throws. But at the end of the day, obviously a stud, a valuable player, great piece. Sometimes he rebounds a lot and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes his defense is not the best. But generally speaking, I'd say Nas Reed's defense has improved greatly the past few years, and it's been quite a story. So Nas Reed, Sixth Man of the Year Award, 23-24. Congratulations, Nas. And I'm going to try to save the conversation with Vince and Marcus the Forecaster, both of them talking to me kind of, we're in instant messaging, or in Marcus's case, I guess, regular texting, where Vince Germano's in Australia, text messaging would probably be a little different that way, so it's like our version of texting is Facebook Messenger, which still works, it's still like a text, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, it's really nice, and it's free and stuff. It's free as long as you have internet connection anyway. Anthony Edwards with 36 points, again, very clutch, and the Wolves just kind of pulling away in this one. Great, unbelievable defense in the second and third quarters. And, of course, again, a surge offensively. A 16-point difference in the third quarter made a huge difference, which, you know, it was a close game. It just stayed close. It was close all the way up to halftime. It was annoying, frustrating. Like, are we going to win this game? We were building a small lead, so it wasn't, like, that bad. We were up by 6, but it's like, yeah, the Suns could still catch up. But this is a great sign. I mean, you thought maybe the Wolves might be down by 10 or 15 or something at halftime, you know, in Phoenix, with the way things have gone historically the past several times in Phoenix, Arizona. And then the third quarter happened, and the Wolves just kind of pulled away. Good defense. The Suns were missing shots. The Wolves are making shots. Corner threes like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Jaden McDaniels, and such. Anthony Towns, a decent game. Not a great game. 7 of 16, but 3 of 5 from outside. Conley, very strong performance. 15 points. 7 assists. Conley's a little bit, you know, he's been getting the turnovers a little bit more than he was, and Anthony Edwards gets those at times, but great rebounding. And again, Nickeil Alexander-Walker down the stretch here, very clutch and very good defense. He was a plus 23, so he was a huge part of that third quarter, which used to be the Wolves' Achilles heel in the past, in the old days where we used to say bleep the third quarter, but I believe that was in the Towns and Wiggins era when things just were different. There were hopes for the team, but it just, you didn't get the feeling like that team was going to really do anything significant, even with Jimmy Butler healthy and on the roster and not being a jackass after the first year. That first year, it was like you're hoping for something. Gobert again, 14 rebounds, another insanely strong performance, and some big dunks in the game, just using his strength, and obviously good passing by Anthony Edwards, Conley, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Those guys combined for 17 assists. 17, those three guys. Amazing stuff. So, great, great combination there. Nas Reed, 5 of 10, the Sixth Man of the Year. Congratulations again, Nas Reed. As he won the award, or was named the winner, maybe people already knew, but he had won the award, like, pretty much hours, if not minutes, after the release of the last episode of Timberwolves Explosion. So I did not know. I did not know. I knew he was up for it, but I did not know he'd officially won. And it was very exciting and very cool indeed. McDaniels definitely has quieted his performance offensively, and he ran into foul trouble. Booker was being his D-bag self, like always, but definitely did not play well. He was better. He was definitely better in the game. He was better. He wasn't as much of a mess as he was in Target Center. Still wound up with 23 points, but pales in comparison to what he would do in game number 4. You got to see some Josh Okogie, but he actually got a flagrant foul. I forget, did he get ejected? I know he got a flagrant foul. Yes, he did. He got ejected. Josh Okogie got ejected. Josh Okogie. Because he was just kind of like, I don't know, just over-aggressive. I don't think there was anything intentional. I'm not mad at Josh Okogie at all. I don't get any vibe from Josh Okogie like, oh, I want to injure people. But I think, yeah, sometimes he's a little over-aggressive, and that's kind of what's at times his undoing for getting major minutes in the NBA, unfortunately. It was a decent first-round pick at the time in 2018. I still remember talking about him with Vince Germano in this very spot here when I first moved back to Golden Valley in 2018. Talking about Josh Okogie in the draft review in 2018. But, yep, he's been with Phoenix for years now. But, it's kind of you'd like to see him as a 3-and-D guy, but he's not a real good shooter. Did miss a couple of major free throws in game number 4. Let's get to game 4. But game 5, again, was wonderful. Royce O'Neal missed all of his shots. He'd been struggling, but he certainly had a much better game 4, and pretty much everybody did. Bradley Beal had his best game in game 3. There's no doubt. Anthony Edwards, though, insanely clutch, aggressive, and intense, and getting to the line and making all 11 of his free throws against the Phoenix Suns in game number 3. Game 3 was fun. It was nice to see the Wolves pull away, but game 4 was the one for the ages in a lot of ways, and it was also one of the most irritating, stomach-curling, insanely frustrating, temper tantrum-inducing, psychotic, ranting, whatever type of games. It was that kind of game where I was a raging lunatic here behind the scenes. That's why I'm going, I was a raging lunatic behind the scenes. You don't want to know. It was, and I was also trying to keep quiet while being a raging lunatic because my wife was trying to, get to sleep because she had to get up early for her job. I work second shift, as you know. Probably talked about that way too much and you're sick of hearing about it. The first and second quarters, first quarter, everything, it just felt like Phoenix is going to win this freaking game. They're making everything, and the defense sucks. Like, they're getting layups, they're hitting threes, they're getting layups, they're hitting threes. Where's the damn defense? Anthony Edwards shoots, he misses. Anthony Edwards shoots, he misses. Anthony Edwards shoots, he misses. Nikhil Alexander-Walker from the corner, Nikhil Alexander-Walker from the corner, brick. Oh my God, stop missing, Nikhil. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 0 for 5. Didn't make a single 3 and only 5 points after a great first 3 games for the most part. Conley, miss after miss after miss, but he made 2 massive 3s later in the game when the Wolves finally started making shots. In fact, at halftime, I was beyond pissed. Like, you look at the numbers now and it's like, holy Toledo, what a difference. But that's the Wolves, man. That's the Wolves. Everything felt negative. Like, we're not going to win this game. Frickin' Phoenix is going to at least extend this to a possible gentleman's sweep, and it's kind of annoying, especially when you consider what happened really late in the game and how we might need a little recovery time for a certain person. We'll see how that works out. The Wolves are shooting about 38% from the floor at halftime, and 2 of 18. 2 of 18 for 22, a whopping 22% from downtown. That was the first half. The final game numbers, 15 of 36 from downtown. That's a little better. Well, yeah, almost 42%. Thank you very much. 41 of 18 overall from the floor, 46%. So from 38 to 46, that's an 8% increase. From three-point range, almost 20%. Almost, just about 20%. In fact, it was 19.7% increase for the Timberwolves from outside. Some annoying missed free throws. Anthony Edwards was, he missed a couple free throws, 7 of 10. I've seen worse. The 11-11 was real nice at the previous game. Walker couldn't hit Jack. It was really annoying. McDaniels, he missed a lot of corner shots as well. He did eventually make one. But there was one guy who kind of kept the Wolves afloat when it felt like Phoenix was just going to pull away. It's going to be a 10, 15, maybe a 20-point lead for the Phoenix Suns. But that never happened. because Karl Anthony Towns, the forgotten star, I guess you could say, not really forgotten, but kind of, you know, pushed to the side a tiny bit. And you know what? He's not complaining about it, actually. It feels like he, you know, he's totally fine with that. You know, still being a star, but not being, you know, necessarily expected to be the star, the man, this and that. 11 of 17 from the floor, 4 of 6 from outside, including a very clutch 3, which where he had that little stop and did the whoo look kind of. That was fun. Karl Anthony Towns kept the Wolves afloat as Anthony Edwards was clanging shot after shot after shot. And then something changed. Anthony Edwards just went into assassin mode. And I'm going to tell you, people saying that this was Garnett-like by Anthony Edwards. This was Garnett-like? Did Garnett really do this that much? I can name one game for sure. Game 7 against Sacramento was the defining moment of Kevin Garnett's career with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was fantastic in that game, and he showed up to play. He was clutched, he was aggressive, and he was on the ball, right? But here's the thing. It was not that often where Anthony Edwards did that in Game 3 for the most part, but this was beyond that. And what's also important to note that I think does count for something in a huge way of Anthony Edwards versus Garnett, particularly offensively, but defensively as well in this game. That gives him that Jordan-esque vibe. Anthony Edwards has had some spectacular blocks all season, getting up on people, and it's not just for show. Like Garnett, sometimes it felt like a lot of stuff was kind of like, yeah, look what I just did. Woo-hoo-hoo, everybody on their feet. Look what I just did. That's what it felt like sometimes with Garnett. I don't know. That's what led Peter Vesey to say something about it. I think Peter Vesey called Kevin Garnett a fraud one time. I was like, whoa. Because maybe he was a little bit about the camera at times more than actually winning. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a complete ass and you're going to beat me up, but sometimes it felt like that. That Game 7, though, was insanely good. Was an insanely clutch and tough performance by Garnett. But I think this right here was a special game. And it was a special thing because Anthony Edwards was shooting like dog dookie in the whole first half for the most part. He still wound up with 12 points, like a miracle by the grace of God, making a couple shots. Wound up with 12 points and maybe making a few free throws and such. But as mediocre to below average for his you know game as Anthony Edwards was, he was a flat out assassin in the fourth quarter, and he was good in the third. He was good, but he was a flat out assassin in the fourth. I don't think he really missed in the fourth quarter. I don't remember him missing a shot. I think he missed one heat check three. It was like a heat check after the other guys had been making shots. It's like, okay, let's see if we can keep this momentum going. It wasn't a heat check in terms of like, yeah, I got this. It was a momentum type of thing. Like, yeah, let's take the wind out of the sun's sails here if I hit this shot. It wasn't about, let's see what, it's my turn now. No, it wasn't being a selfish play. I get a lot of that momentum style of basketball, which that's just it's a huge part of the game, and it always should be. But to compare this to Garnett, you know, but okay, now I'm trying to make a point here. I'm beating around the bush all over the place. That was Game 7. Not only was it a closeout game where the Wolves could win the series, but it also was an elimination game as well where you could get knocked out. So it was closeout for both teams. So it was like kind of a desperation at the same time as, yeah, let's close these SOBs out. This is Game 4 of a series. So to be able to come up like this, Game 4 in a series, when you were playing like garbage and the defense sucked the whole game, and then you get the block of like the whole series on Devin Booker, who couldn't miss a damn shot, and he was getting away with every chippy, ticky-tack play in the history of the planet, and it was driving me up the wall like you couldn't believe. I was beside myself. I was, like I said, a raging lunatic. Every little thing, elbows to the chest for Jaden McDaniels, one thing after another, one chippy, stupid play after another. Nothing called ever. Oh, you breathed on Devin Booker. It's another foul, and he's back to the free throw line for the 14,000th time. Just like seeing Scott Foster in the referee list. It was like, oh boy, watch out. the series extender, as people call him. So, but then for Anthony Edwards to perform the way he did, fadeaway shots like Michael Jordan, turnaround shots like Michael Jordan, getting the ball on the wing and then exploding to the basket and a Jordan-esque type of a dunk. a lot of people were saying, who does that look like? And it's like, yeah, it looked like Michael Jordan. It did. It looked like Michael Jordan. But again, the point that I've been trying to make here, this is game four. In a series, you're up 3-0. Do you see what I'm trying to say? There was no desperation whatsoever. The Timberwolves had up to 2 home games remaining. There was no desperation in this game. The Wolves could afford to lose it, but Anthony Edwards still rose to the occasion on a night when he wasn't shooting well earlier. And when a certain guy named Devin Booker couldn't miss and was getting every call in the world, I mean, Devin Booker had one of the best games of his career, 49 points. And you get the block, you completely negate Devin Booker's momentum to pretty much have the Suns pull away and force at least a game 5 back at Target Center, where hopefully the Wolves close out the Suns, hopefully. But you never know, were the Wolves actually going to close out the Suns? Anthony Edwards said, yes, the Wolves are going to close out the Phoenix Suns, right on their court in game four, despite the fact Devin Booker was having the night of his life, despite the fact it felt like every call on the planet was going against the Wolves. And I know that sounds like a homer take, but you saw the game. You saw the game, right? It's not about necessarily complaining about the refs, but they were favoring Devin Booker. You know, even the most loyal Phoenix Suns fans would probably tell you they were favoring Devin Booker in the game. And again, other guys like Walker, you were not getting anything from him hardly. Kyle Anderson, sometimes I don't think the guy can hit the broadside of a barn. Like, he's close to the basket. The ball's, like, I don't know how he misses some of those. It's just beyond me. Rudy Gobert was contained. He was stuffed all the time. And then he tried a scoop shot from too far away. And I was just, what is going on here, man? Every time we have a chance to get a lead or hang on to a lead or build on it, go from 2 to 4 points, you know, we're like blowing it, you know. And it was so irritating, blowing layups. And then Phoenix would be standing, you know, Phoenix players like Nurkic or something would be standing underneath the basket. It was just annoying, like wide open. What is happening here? So, again, Anthony Edwards' ability to close out the Suns on the road in game 4, not game 5, not game 6, after we'd blown like 2 games in a row. Well, okay, now we'll close these guys out. No, he closed them out right away. I think that's more clutch. I think that's more clutch than Garnett in game 7 versus the Sacramento Kings, to be able to get up and get it done now. That's more clutch. Now, again, I have no doubt, after what I saw in this game, you get Anthony Edwards in a Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, or maybe, you know, if it's in Denver even, you might see that. You might see him absolutely take over and make one play after another to wrap it up. I mean, that was the complaint with Garnett forever, that he didn't have the takeover ability. That's not ripping and bashing on Kevin Garnett and trashing his career. It's a stone-cold fact, and so many people will tell you that. So it's not about necessarily bashing Garnett, but, and what I appreciate from Kevin Garnett, though, with Anthony Edwards, like one playoff thing after another, he's going to take over a lot of playoff records for the Timberwolves history, of course. The Timberwolves played a lot of games in the playoffs, but didn't win a lot, unfortunately, you know, during those days. Garnett said, go ahead and beat every record. So thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. Kevin Garnett even is taking like a Carl Anthony Towns approach to Anthony Edwards, and that's interesting, too. That's a very interesting and very cool sign that does tell you that even Garnett is like, yeah, this guy has a real chance to actually be the best player in franchise history. If Kevin Garnett's basically saying it, hello. I mean, that doesn't make me a jerk for saying it, does it? That doesn't make me a non-Wolves fan or a Garnett hater. It just doesn't. It's just the way it is. It's a wonderful thing to watch, and it's a wonderful thing to appreciate. But the other thing as well with Karl Anthony Towns, and I tweeted this as well, and we'll get to that in the next segment because it's just 2 segments here. Karl Anthony Towns plays like this. Anthony Edwards continues to be clutch and solid and all that, you know. But Karl Anthony Towns, yeah, even if Anthony Edwards isn't a flat-out assassin like this, but like good like in the other games, Karl Anthony Towns plays anything like that on a regular basis, the Timberwolves have a real shot at winning the NBA championship. Not getting to the Western Conference Finals, not getting to the NBA Finals, but even beating the Boston Celtics, you know, on the road in the NBA Finals. In the NBA Finals, which could, just even the thought, like my eyes start welling up thinking about it. It is unbelievable to imagine And I hope that day happens. Chris Finch, man. Devastating when you think about it. Of course, it was Devin Booker. You know, hip-checking Mike Conley. If it's not Devin Booker, it's Devin Booker. It's just everything bad and annoying and stupid and, you know, negative in this series has to do with Devin Booker one way or another. Hip-checking Mike Conley as Conley unfortunately bowls into Chris Finch, who has a torn patellar tendon. What the hell? A torn patellar tendon. You gotta be kidding me. No, I guess I'm not kidding you. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but I'm sure Chris Finch will be there. I'm not sure he's going to be like in the normal spot of a head coach, but he'll be there. He'll still be able to coach, but probably a row behind. That's what we're hearing, basically. A torn patellar tendon is the kind of thing, if he was a pro athlete, like say he was a Minnesota Timberwolves player, if it's Jake Layman or whatever, I'm just kind of saying, throwing out names. Jake Layman, stay healthy the rest of your life and God bless you. But like somebody like that, he'd be out for probably a calendar year. But as a coach, he doesn't necessarily have to be out for a calendar year. But it's going to be immobile. Yeah, the knee will be immobilized for, I don't know if it's 3 to 6 weeks, I think. So that's crutches. So I think eventually he'll be able to kind of be around, maybe sitting in the chair or whatever, without crutches. He might be able to just be there sitting down. Maybe he'll have crutches, but sitting down, that kind of thing, and have them behind. We'll see how things work with that, but I don't think it's like Chris Finch isn't going to be there. And sorry, you know, it's going to be the other guy. So I'm not sure what to say about that, but that's probably, yeah. I think Chris Finch will be there enough that he'll still be Chris Finch. He'll still be the head coach of the Timberwolves and all that as the Timberwolves try to continue going forward into this postseason, where the Timberwolves get past Denver, they can very possibly win the NBA championship. I think very, very, very possibly could get it done. What's going on? What am I staring at here? Too many. Okay, that's a mess. Ay, ay, ay. Where do they come up with all this? That's a lot. Yeah, Mike Inouye. Okay, I was like, yeah. Like, I know the name. Obviously, I know the face. I've seen it a million times, and he's been on a million broadcasts. Well, he's been on many broadcasts. Not a million of them. But yeah, Mike Inouye, he's on it like the, well, Elston Turner, wasn't he supposed to be the, yeah, he was one of the guys the Wolves liked in the past. I forgot about that. I remember mentioning that when we hired him. Yeah, I think that was back when, that might have been going back all the way to, I forget if that was during the Kurt Rambis time, where maybe we could have had Elston Turner instead of Kurt Rambis, or after Kurt Rambis. I can't remember how that was, but it was around that era, though. Prigioni and all that stuff. But Mike Inouye, yep, I mean, we'll see. Mike Inouye might kind of be like the guy standing and clapping and, you know, barking out instructions to the players and such, but Finch will probably be there pulling the strings one way or another, I think. I mean, it's Chris Finch's team. That's a fact, and all the players know it. All the coaches know it. But at the same time, the coaches are all good, too. They're all good. They do a good job. And it's crazy to think that could happen. And, of course, it's Devin bleeping Booker. That was a part of what took place there. Of course it was. Was there any doubt that it was Devin Booker? Of course it was, because he's a dink. I hate him. I hate him with a passion. Yes, I do. Okay, that sounds terrible. What's also funny is the Timberwolves are the only team to advance best of first round so far. So I'm going to get through that really quickly here. Again, the Lone Wolf Award for the last two games is Anthony Edwards with a bullet, 38 points a game in the two games, 36 in game three, 40 in game four. He was a downright assassin, and I think he's the go-to guy for this franchise history, without a doubt. OKC's up 3-0 on New Orleans. The Clippers in Dallas has been kind of a back-and-forth thing with Kawhi Leonard, you know, playing hurt and not being all that great. It's been a back-and-forth thing, but thankfully the Clippers were able to tie the series up because, I don't know. I think I'd rather see the Clippers win that series and see OKC and the Clippers duke it out. Dallas is, I don't know. Wolves, of course, sweep the Phoenix Suns, which is amazing. We'll see if OKC sweeps the New Orleans Pelicans. It's too bad because Pelicans could have won game one. They probably should have. But now it's like lopsided, which is depressing. Denver, the Lakers finally did something good. They had legitimate chances to win, especially game two, but it just kind of slipped away. Apparently, LeBron James got heated at Darvin Ham for not reviewing a play during that Lakers win in game number 4. Might be a gentleman's sweep, kind of like the Wolves. It's crazy to think that was like that was basically the Wolves last year with the Denver Nuggets. Finally winning game 3, and then ultimately gentleman's sweep in game 5. Game 4, pardon me, and ultimately gentleman's sweep in game 5, pardon me. Boston, Miami, it's pretty much what I expect with Boston. I think they're going to get the job done. Generally speaking, there's a pretty good chance if the Wolves get to the NBA Finals, that's who we're going to be playing. Miami relegated to 84 points in the most recent game. It's pretty weak. That's weak. Very weak. It's weak. 64-18 Boston Celtics. Isn't that the same record they had when they won the title in 2008? Sounds familiar. 57-25. That's one game worse. That's what OKC is. One game worse than what the Wolves were in 03-04. Pelicans almost 50 wins. It's actually pretty impressive. Cleveland-Orlando, it's knotted up 2-2. Orlando with a pretty strong win in their house. 112-89 most recently. It's the Magic went down 2-0, and they have annihilated Cleveland Cavaliers in back-to-back games. 121-83 in Game 3. That's impressive. So the Orlando Magic, you never know. They might get past the Cleveland Cavaliers. So far, it's been all the home team getting the job done in that one. Milwaukee-Indiana, the Bucks are bleeped. Yeah, the Bucks are bleeped. Yeah, you can rhyme, but I don't need to here. No Lillard, no Giannis. I mean, it's over. It is what it is. Like, it's kind of sad. They had a chance to do something this year, but that's okay, I guess. Thanasis is still only 2 minutes. Is he that, like, bad that he can't get any minutes? Jeez. Middleton with 25. Lopez, very respectable. Give it everything he has. 27 points. He's an older guy, man. Isn't he, like, 36 by now? He's a pretty old guy. 27-9. That's a pretty good performance, actually. Pat Beverly starting. Malik Beasley starting. Oh, God, help us. That's funny, man. Siakam with only 13. Halliburton, he might have an injury, so that's interesting. He's questionable going into game 5. So this one will be in Milwaukee. Maybe it'll be Bucks Pacers in 6. But with the lack of players for Milwaukee, I don't know, man. I think the Pacers will win the series. And I thought they'd win the series anyway, but now they absolutely should win that series. Knicks in Philadelphia, it's a mess. Philadelphia, some people will tell you they probably should be winning the series, but they're not because they're out of control. Joel Embiid's kind of becoming a dirty player, and he complains a lot, and I don't know. Most of the time he gets every call known to man. He's worse than Devin Booker, I don't know. Not as much this series. Jalen Brunson with 47 points, absolutely insane, putting the Knicks up 3-1, and Tom Thibodeau might have his New York Knicks in round number 2, and I do think there's a real chance you could have Knicks and Celtics Eastern Conference Final, which is pretty epic stuff. Pretty good chance you could have a Wolves and a Thunder Western Conference Final. Pretty good chance. Wolves and Clippers would be amazing, because then we'd have home court. I'd love it. That'd be great if the Clippers pull off some kind of crazy upset on the Thunder. But we'll have to wait and see how all this turns out. I'd love to see the Wolves get home court advantage. If it's Wolves and Knicks in the NBA Finals, home court advantage, baby. And I think the Wolves have home court advantage in either series. They are world champions. I think so. I think so. I think they have the ability to get it done at the end of the day. Stay healthy, guys. And get healthy, Chris Finch. God bless you. And really sorry that happened. We'll be back for some fan interaction right after this. I'm interrupting things briefly here because I rudely forgot to get to Marcus the Forecaster and Vince's messages. I am sorry. That is really dumb. So what happened was, Vince Germano said, if you were podcasting, do you know how much bleep I would be giving you right now? LOL. And then he showed me a post. He tagged me in a post. And it was Anthony Edwards doing that ridiculous celebration late in Game 3 as the Timberwolves were getting on the verge of getting a 3-0 lead on the Suns. The ridiculous celebration where, I don't know, it looked like he was grabbing his something and, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's big and blah, blah, blah. That's what I think it's supposed to be, right? It didn't look good to me. I know a lot of people didn't like it very much. And it's like, what are you doing that for? Just, that's kind of crazy. I didn't see it happen because I don't think it was on camera during the game. And then Vince says, see what happens when you start winning? And I was saying, people get weird. And he said, cocky. They get cocky. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. So and then we had kind of a conversation of hopefully the Wolves are going to be okay and all that. And But no, and when game four was weird and all that. But yeah, so it's like, yeah, I hope Anthony Edwards can refrain from some of the, I don't know, let's not start taunting the other team or anything, even if it wasn't meant that way. Let's stay away from some of that. That's a little bit losing control a little bit. Marcus the Forecaster as well, I hope he doesn't mind. I sent a image of the broom saying, let's get the sweep. And then he said, you jinxed us, with a gif of Peyton Manning saying, come on, man. And then I'll say, sorry, I shouldn't have said that, da, da, da. You know, I got to be careful as well. Hopefully we get that done. Then he had an image of a guy with a nod. Marcus was saying, end of the third quarter, and it was showing like an empty building. So we're hoping for that, empty seats. It wasn't quite that way, but late in the fourth, thankfully. Marcus also said, I wouldn't mind trading Cat for KD, Kevin Durant, huh? Though, because we need money to keep Naw and Nas. Luckily, we've kept Nas for now, but NAW, yeah, that's one thing as well. I was freaking out saying that prick Booker gets every damn call you can imagine. He just might dethrone Curry for my least favorite player. He's so close. Marcus said, yep, he was celebrating because the Wolves were winning the game now, finally, because it was several minutes later. My phone died and I just turned it on. Yeah, Book is a bleep. See, yeah, flopping too damn much, and the refs did everything they could to keep them in the game. And he was making fun of Charles saying, we're way too big and too deep, LOL. You know, so that's funny. So, yep, so now I got those in. I apologize. Now you'll be hearing about Flip to Finch. Are you looking for a really nice Timberwolves-related Facebook page out there with cool fans and a wonderful host? Well, look no further than Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, hosted by Scott Doherty. He does a great job. Scott Doherty's an awesome guy. And the fan base on there, obviously passionate about the Wolves, but also respectful of other people's opinions regarding the team. Check out the page. It's awesome. Wolfpack from Flip to Finch. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion. I thought I had the right one up, but it's T-Wolves EX. T-Wolves EX is on the X, or Twitter, or whatever it's called. Okay, because I think I was only on the smart device. I wasn't actually on the computer when doing the all that tweeting last night and becoming a maniac while doing it. Again, I apologize to anybody that was maybe irritated with the way I was freaking out. I apologize. But do you blame me? Do you blame me, dang it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you should. Vince Germano, out of Melbourne, Australia. Tane and Levi Brown, out of New Zealand. Love you guys. And Benzo, out of the Bronx, retweeting the most recent episode. And I will backtrack before that, because, and hallelujah that I saw this, because Benzo did tweet. I was just, I just had recorded the show. I kind of got it out quickly, that type of thing. Benzo did tweet before that, so here it is. Again, out of the Bronx. The Wolves either couldn't win or beat themselves in recent playoff runs. We look like we are tired of it. Yep, that's Anthony Edwards, right? Switch, like everyone else, loves defense. Move the ball like we don't care who scores. We are acting like we've been there. Yep, acting like we've been there, like we already did what we're about to do. Type vibes, and that's awesome. Yep, great take, Benzo. That was great. Next, what was he? He was responding to something. So, what was I saying? Okay, no, it was to Tane. Cool, I'm glad that I was saying thoughts on da-da-da-da. Tane was saying, also was fun to see that fire in Jaden transfer to his play, yeah, rather than going crazy. When he pushed Booker, I thought he might completely lose his head, but no. Instead, I'm sure he grabbed an impressively strong rebound off Durant not long after. That's the guy I want. That's who we paid. Yep, I remember reading that was a good one. And the last show wasn't that long ago, so Benzo responding saying, definitely. They knew nothing about this Jaden. Thought he was just some spot-up 3-and-D guy they got off easy last year. Yep. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. The Nuggets and the Suns, basically. Yep. So, yep. Glad I got to read what Benzo had to say. Hopeless Wolves fan. Here we go. Yep. When we were ranting about that idiot, that little, I hate him, Booker in Game 3, and he was really acting like a punk. Hopeless Wolves fan. Yep. Nice to hear from you. He says, Booker is such a little bitch. My God. He's what a sore bleeping loser. And I said, he's so obnoxious and he never stops. He's been like this forever. Hopeless Wolves fan continues, says, wish we still had James Johnson to just knock his teeth out. Yep, I like James Johnson. He was good, wasn't he? I was saying, that would be awesome. It's every single game, and he's been like this his whole career. People wonder why I can't stand the guy. And again, that is, I think you know who it is. So East Side saying, we're letting them back in the game. That was game three. Yep, when the Wolves were kind of letting them back in the game. East Side simply says, they ain't going to win. Like, calm down. And, yep, you're right. Appreciate that. He didn't follow back. Hater. Hopefully he'll follow back at some point. I don't know. If you don't, I'm going to unfollow. Just kidding. Na-na-na-boo-boo. Just kidding. Levi Brown, here we go. I managed to catch this game live. That must have been game three. Yep. I managed to catch this game live, and thankfully it didn't stop the Wolves from winning. Yep. It's kind of like that with a lot of teams like the Twins. They'll be on a nice run. I watch, and then it's like 4-0 in the first inning. It's like, oh, come on, guys. Yep, it didn't stop them from winning. It was a great all-around effort from this entire team, and I thought Ant's aggression in the final quarter was key to stopping any sniff the Suns had when they started hitting shots. Yep, absolutely. That was, yep, absolutely great. Yep, contract negotiations with Justin Jefferson. Okay, yep, that's... Oh, yeah, and I did release a NFL draft review on Purple Mafia, so do check out the Purple Mafia podcast or Purple Mafia show if you'd like to hear about the Minnesota Vikings draft, the review. Tony Brown says, Edwards' shot looks all out of whack. Yeah, that was the first half and such. Yep, zero rhythm. Entire team very clunky on offense. They were terrible, weren't they? They were terrible. They were. See what I mean? It wasn't just making it up, right? I was saying this has been an annoying game in general tonight. Hopefully the second half is better. Need a lot more from Ant in the second half. Terrible first half and very telling. To think Anthony Edwards would score 40 points in that game, it tells you something. Tanae Brown says, funnily enough, the refs have kept us in this one. In some ways, yes. In some ways, yes. Keeping up. In other ways, they kept getting, rolling too, that Booker. Tanae says, yeah, I was wrong. Refs have come out and decided to completely, swing things back to the Suns after halftime. Just no consistency on calls. Very hard to watch. Yeah, that third quarter was irritating. The Wolves did not take advantage of the third quarter like they did earlier, but thankfully the fourth was the big one. The fourth is even more important. I was saying up until just now, it's been insanely hard to watch. I almost turned the game off when that little dick, Booker, hit another three-pointer. Thankfully, things are starting to turn. Hopefully, we finish them off, and that's exactly what happened by the grace of God. I am telling you, by the grace of God. most of it's like likes and retweets and such. And then there was that great, Tony Brown was sharing this. B-ball breakdown, dear Lord, if this doesn't remind you of somebody. Yeah, that Michael Jordan type of play. Anthony Edwards looked like Michael Jordan on the play. It really did. Shooting past Bradley Beal, who ended up fouling out and being an absolute mess in the game. Looked like a Washington Wizard, didn't he? Yep, that's what they say. Like, he'd just been on the Wizards too long. You know, just not a winning player, you know. Levi Brown, I apologize, a couple of tweets here, says, I thought Towns was key to keeping us in the game. Yeah, he kept us afloat the first two and a bit, like into the third, yep, quarters, while most others were struggling to hit anything. But once Ant got going, it was game over. I read that goofy. Amazing result. Never imagined they'd get the sweep after all the regular season losses to Phoenix. Yep, and that will wrap up Fan Interaction segment. It was amazing. It was truly amazing and a wonderful, wonderful night. Couldn't sleep for a while, and I don't know, I'm a little groggy. Recording this a little later than I would have liked this morning, but we're going to try to keep up with this as best possible. Lawn cleanups still haven't started. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is like ridiculous. The weather was nice, and then it's just been rain, and my brother's truck isn't ready, and it's just, I don't know, it's annoying. So, I don't know. He's kind of acting like the Phoenix Suns lately with the truck, but we'll get off that. We'll get off that. No, we'll come around. We'll be like Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter, like we tend to be with those cleanups. But that's off the mic conversation there. It is kind of weird though. Amazing series, amazing finish. Odds are the Wolves will be playing the Denver Nuggets. Can the Wolves beat the Denver Nuggets? Yes. And I am confident enough in this team that I think they can win that series in six games and go back to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. So the Wolves will advance twice, at least twice, like we did 20 years ago, and hopefully finally to that NBA Finals and reach the goal of goals, the ultimate goal of ultimate goals. Praying to God that ends up absolutely happening. Please help this show with some positive ratings if you could. It'd be great. Positive ratings, 5-star rating, Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating, Spotify, any of you that have, thank you so much. Anybody else that's still willing to, please, 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 and thank you in advance if you could do that. Also, again, like if you see this on YouTube, just click the like button. Just crush that like button, as they say. It'd be greatly appreciated. Because that helps with the algorithms there as well to kind of help to get things going. I might do some reels at some point now that I'm kind of, I did a tiny one for Purple Mafia. And yeah, I mean, well, reels are like a minute and a half. So you can only say so much, but it might be an immediate reaction. My wife was sleeping and I'd already irritated her enough, you know, with my mini rants, you know, trying to keep down, but she could still hear them, that type of thing. So that's the deal. That's why I didn't do a reel last night. It was like, when was it, like 12:30 basically, when that game finally ended? Or was it about midnight-ish, I think? It was something like that. It was after midnight when the game finally ended, as there were a lot of delays. And, of course, the Chris Finch injury really delayed things. And it's beyond crazy that that actually happened. It totally sucks, actually. Speedy recovery, Finch, and hope the pain subsides ASAP. Thank you, Lord, for a full recovery there and a very fast recovery as well. Well, all of you have yourself a wonderful few days. We'll get it going. The next thing we'll be talking about is most likely a Wolves and Denver rematch. It'll be the third time these two teams tipped off in the NBA playoffs. Hopefully the Wolves can get this one and keep rolling. We're going to find out very soon, aren't we? Well, until next time, take care and go Timberwolves.